And today I'll try to give you a little bit of the message that I think has been given to me. And we'll call that message, The Way of God's People. SPS, to love, support, and strengthen each other. I think it resembles some of what Mr. Hart was preaching about himself. It's something that's necessary for us. It's something that we need to do often as we love and support each other. Through the ages, the way of God's people have been greatly criticized in various ways. It was not understood by many. Many couldn't understand how could people live this way? How could people do the things that they are saying they should do and still be successful? Well, we will, because God gave us that instruction and that way to live. And he promised us that he will take care of us as long as we live that way. We don't have to be afraid. There are many highly educated people who will tell you that the Bible is just a storybook for kids. A storybook for kids. Something that adults don't need. Adults are too busy living their way and making their living. Have no time for that. We who study the Bible, we know that it is the word of the living God. And we can remember how the early church suffered after Jesus' day, and the church was new. The church suffered a lot because it was so new. It was not what they were taught before, and it seemed weak, and to some, it seemed crazy. And the church came to be known as those of the way, the people of the way. Persecuted and punished. They had to meet in secret. They had to meet in the homes of each other. They had to go underground in order to be able to do this work and survive. And we had the Apostle Paul, who was one of the main persecutors before he found the truth. I love him. I love him so much. Because after he found the truth, you couldn't keep it away from him. And we know how he suffered because of the way. He had to go through many pains and sufferings. And he was pleased to do it because he realized that he had hurt the church in many ways. But then he helped the church so much more when he came back and people saw this man who was always persecuting the church, always hounding down the members and bringing them to trial and punishing them, some of them going to death. That strengthened their belief in the church. They said, if this man has turned wrong, it's got to be good. And he was able to impart to them God's truth and the truth of the church. They suffered that we could be free today to worship as we do, even though we know that pretty soon we may not be as free as we are now, but we have had freedom for a long time. And during that freedom period, the great teachers and workers for the church, I guess those who have not been on the sideline, they were able to instill the kind of strength that the Lord meant them to give to us. Today, as people of the way, I guess we could still be called that, as people of the way, let us appreciate what they did, and let us come together. Let us meet as brethren and friend. We are not perfect. We are not perfect. And at many times, we may offend a brother or sister, but it's not the end of the world. And we must remember that we are not perfect, and we were not made perfect. We have to accept that we have shortcomings, we have failings, and try to correct them and strengthen ourselves through the power of the Spirit that God has given to us. So at times when we offend a brother or a sister, let us be quick to apologize, to ask forgiveness, to mend it very quickly before it goes into some kind of condition that we find too difficult to solve. So when we repent, let it come from the heart. Let it be true. We heard that today. Let it be true. And let us not pretend. In Luke 11 and verse 1, when he finished praying in a certain place, it says, one of his disciples said to him, said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples to pray. And we know that he gave them at that time the Lord's Prayer. Verse 4 says, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive those that trespass against us, those that are indebted to us. Forgive us our sins. So don't be afraid to do it. God gave us that command. Do it fearlessly. We shall be honored for it. Some people have dishonorable intentions, and they may just take advantage. They just want us to bend and give them that little opportunity to get in. They may try to fool us. They may try to harm us. But that's all right. Those, you can usually tell, are just false. Thank you, Joe. Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 11 says, wealth gained dishonestly dwindles away, but he who gathers by hand makes it grow. So don't be afraid. Do what you're supposed to do, and let the Lord take care of the rest. When a person dishonestly gets things that don't belong to him, he's not going to keep it. And even if he keeps it, he will not be able to do as much with it as he would like. It's tainted. Proverbs 13 and verse 13 says, whoever despises instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command will be rewarded. So these are the ones who don't like to be told what to do. They just like to have it their way all the time, and they will try any tricks to get it that way. Don't worry about it. God will take care of that. Whoever despises instruction will pay for it. Verse 17 says, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy gains healing. So don't worry about the wicked messengers, and don't be a wicked messenger yourself. Do the right thing. And again, those things are usually practiced by the transparent types that you can see right through. So be careful with them and act in a way that would keep yourself safe while not disrespecting them in any way. Some are good actors, and they can actually fool you and make you believe that they're true. Again, if you don't have that insight to know that they're not true, the Lord will take care of that. The Lord will protect us from them. But we must always be alert. Always be able to counteract. Deal wisely, be forgiving, even in such cases. Because the reward will come. Be quick to forgive. You have anything against anyone, be quick to forgive. Give them that chance to prove that they are true. Matthew, the 18th chapter and verse 21. It says, "And then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him until seven times?'" Verse 22 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I don't tell you until seven times, but until 70 times seven.'" Forgive and forgive and forgive and keep forgiving. Don't be afraid. We could never lose doing what is good, what is proper. Some are genuine, and we will get the satisfaction from those. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outcry, and slander be put away from you with all malice." Put them away. Don't dwell on them. I know sometimes you could feel hurt from what someone else has done, and you want to hit back. You want satisfaction. You don't need it. You don't need it. The satisfaction is with God when he does what he needs to do to correct the problem. Verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you." We are forgiven all the time. Sometimes we don't deserve it, but we are forgiven. And that gives us a chance to correct the wrongs that we have done and move on proudly. If we're true Christians, that's the way we have to do it. And true Christians are very careful about the feelings of others. We want to be trusted, so we have to trust. We are careful and we care about how we look to other people. We want to know that no one looks at us and thinks, "Oh, that guy is just a crook. He pretends." So don't be afraid. Do the right thing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21 says, "Test all things and hold firmly that which is good." Test all things and hold firmly to that which is good. So whatever we get involved in, we will take the good things of it. Take the good things of it. And let the bad go. We don't need it. Abstain, says verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Do we mean it when we say we're sorry? Yes, we have to mean it, and we have to show it. We can't just say it to make peace. We must mean it. Search your hearts for the right words. Make them real. Make them meaningful. 1 Peter, the second chapter and verse 1 says, "Putting away, therefore, all wickedness, all deceit, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. They are similar. The scriptures are similar. They're all saying the same thing. But then again, that shows us that this is what the Lord wants of us. Simple but true. Verse 2 says, as newborn babies long for the pure milk of the word, that with it we may grow. We want to grow. We don't want to remain the same way. We don't want to be just playing the same song all the time without true meaning. Verse 3 says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So it depends on your trust and your belief in God and what he has given us and what he wants us to do. If you believe in this and you know it's true, then it should make you more anxious, more ready, more willing to do these things that he has asked us. We want to gain the trust of others. We want to regain that mutual friendship that we had before we had a problem, before we had something against somebody or they had something against us. We want to make sure we're doing the right thing. As we love a fellow man, and as we love and represent our Lord. We all fall short and do many things and say many things that we regret almost as soon as we say them. But being people of God, we know when it happens and we shall correct it and we shall make sure that we make that peace. And we know how important it is to make that peace with our brethren. So we need to think carefully about whatever we do before we get into a situation, before speaking, make sure that we have thought the matter through, that we know what we're talking about before we start talking. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, and verse 16 says, every prudent man acts from knowledge, but a fool exposes folly. A fool just talks, especially the fool who thinks that he's smart and he can get over all the other people. I know how to do it. And he would say things that doesn't make sense. But he'll be seen through. But sometimes we slip. We say something silly or we do something silly, but we just slipped. We didn't really mean to be that way. Accept full responsibility. Apologize and accept that we have done something wrong by accident, and a brother will appreciate that very much. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We find mercy from our brethren. Because we are true and we are showing that we're true. Genesis 4 and verse 6 says, Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has the expression on your face fallen? If you do well, won't it be lifted up? If you don't do well, sin crouches at the door and its desire is for you. But you are to rule over it. The Lord is not telling us try. The Lord is saying you are to rule over it. So it means it's something that you can do because the Lord gives us nothing to do that we're not able to. Sin crouches at the door. Do well. Overcome it. If we don't have the ready skills and knowledge, talk to God about it. And he will see us through. Being human, we'll make mistakes along the way. We'll have to repent. We'll have to correct what we did. But sometimes a spur of the moment act or a word could just put things in such terrible state. So be quick. Be quick to forgive and be forgiven. When this happens, we should look beyond those facts and concentrate on our own feelings. Never look for the easy way out. Concentrate on our own feelings. I did this, I was wrong. Let me not make it worse by saying that he caused it or she caused it. Let me take my part of the responsibility, if it's big or small. If the other person may have caused it, as a matter of fact, but you did something to make it worse, accept that responsibility, apologize. Do not judge those who slip. People slip just like you can slip, others can slip too. And when they make mistakes, they need to be treated kindly. They need to be not talked down to. Not like the man in the minister's story in the bulletin, who put down the worker because he was late in a rough and rude manner, but be gentle. Everybody needs it. You know that we need it, so others need it too. Hebrews 10 and verse 30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." So let us not be the Lord. Let us be who we are. And let us forgive as we are able. And the end of the verse says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Matthew verse 7 and verse 1 says, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you." So we have to remember this too. We have to remember that when we put somebody else down, and we are doing the same thing, we have to answer for that. We will not go unpunished. Verse 3 says, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that's in your own eye?" I used to wonder about this verse. This verse is written or spoken as if you always have a beam in your eye that's bigger than the one that you corrected. And you know, brethren, it's true. It's true. Your beam is always bigger because it's not always the matter at hand that's being considered. In many cases, the beam is from sometime in the past when you did maybe the same thing in a worse manner or even something else that was bigger and worse than that. And we have to remember we grow every day. We grow every single day. And we are not what we were when we were first called to God's church. I remember things that I see people do, and I'm saying, "Look at what he's doing. I can't believe he's doing this." Before I realize, I used to do that too. Who am I now to say that this person is so bad? Forgive and try to help. The verse that follows, verse 4, says, "Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't see the beam that's in your eye? Or how will you tell your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye, and behold, the beam is in your eye'? You hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." We have to be always ready to help. Help first before putting down, before judging. Don't always be pointing out the mistakes that others make when we have made the same mistakes ourselves. And we don't even remember if we were in a better position than that person, so that our mistake is probably even worse. Tighten up, get with the program. Tell, you know, this is what we're telling people, but sometimes we are the ones who need to tighten up and get with the program. And let us always remember. So there must be balance. There must be balance. It's not just you do the right thing or I do the right thing, but we do the right thing. And it's a good idea to start with me. Always start with me. Because we want justice and we want balance. We cannot forget that God, Elohim, Father and Son, they are just. And they gave us, they made us, and they made everything, and they gave us free moral agency. They allow us to do what we like, even though we have commands of how to do everything and what we should do. And even though they know that their way is the way, that's the way, that's the truth, that's the light. And they still give us the right to do what we like. And we make our own mistakes, and sometimes we're very, very sorry that we didn't do it our way. Because the pain that comes from not following God's way is sometimes so great. We have examples in the Holy Scriptures which show God making covenants with his people and telling them, referring to the children of Israel, telling them, this is what you shall do. This is what I want you to do. You are my people. Do this, and you shall be blessed. If you do not do it, you shall be punished, and you will bear the consequences. So, he tells us, and he shows us, and that is the justice and the balance that we must have. We must have balance and justice. He makes it clear beforehand that his people must obey and cooperate. Now let's look at an example in 1 Samuel and verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, it says, the people of Israel had called for a king. Like the other nations, they wanted a king. They did not want prophets and judges to relay messages of God to them anymore. And this is the outcome of their request. And this is the Lord's answer. He said, if you would fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king who rules over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of God, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of God be against you, as it was against your father. So we see the Lord blesses, and he gives to us, but we must reciprocate. And God tells us clearly, this is what will happen if you don't. And we know how much Israel suffered because of that king they called for, who they wanted to make them like the other nations. And we know how much not only the king, but also the people, the whole nation, suffered because of it. They broke the rules, and the hand of God was against the entire nation. In the New Testament also, there is disapproval. And in some cases, it led to death. Like in the case of Ananias and his wife, Sapphira. They sold their property to donate the money to the church. It was their money. It was their property. God had given them that property. It was theirs. They could have given whatever they wanted to give. There was no limit. But they said, okay, we sold the property and here's the money. As the writing goes, they laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was not all of the money. They held back some. And Peter addresses this in Acts the 5th chapter and verse 3. Peter says, in this serious situation, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And we know that his wife suffered the same consequence later on when she was questioned. She suffered the same. She fell down and died. So honesty is very important between brethren, between people of the way. We must be honest in our dealings, even when attempting to do good. They were trying to do something good, and they spoiled it by being dishonest. And spoiled it in such a way that they lost their lives. So don't make good deeds appear like a big deal that you're doing, and it's even bigger than it is. No, that's not the right way, and it shouldn't be done that way. And before we tell somebody else to be clean, we have to be clean ourselves. And we have children and others who look to us and take example from us and how we live. And we have to set them the right example. So we can show them the right thing and see them grow into beautiful adults, or we can lie and teach them to lie, because that's what they will do. You do it, it's okay. It's okay for me to do it too. God has given us so many blessings, the blessings of God. And when we get these blessings and we don't treat them correctly, we don't treat them in the right way, any blessing that God gives us, it's a sin. It's a sin to not treat the blessings of God with respect and with gladness. And that applies in the spiritual sense, in the physical sense. It applies in every way. I'll give you an example here in the physical sense. John 6 and verse 11. Jesus, he did one of his great miracles. He fed the many, many people with the few loaves and fishes. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to those who were sitting down, likewise also of the fish, as much as they desired. They were hungry. They had nothing to eat. Jesus provided the fish and the loaves. Verse 12 said, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the broken pieces which are left over. Let nothing be lost. Why did Jesus say this? Was he going to feed that to somebody else? I don't think he was going to do that. But it was not to be wasted. Maybe it was fed to the pigs. Maybe something was done with it. But it was not to be trampled on. It was not to be treated with disrespect. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. And wasn't that done for a reason? Jesus did it for a reason. He did that to show us we don't waste. We don't waste. If we have too much, maybe we can give it to somebody else. So in the same way, when on the spiritual side, God gives us a friend or friends who we make war and fall out with, that's waste. That's waste because you're wasting that real good fellowship that the Lord has given us. And after you get those problems, you have to spend the precious time that you should be enjoying that friendship fixing the problems that you made. And sometimes, you know, some people are very cold and they don't forgive very easily. And you have to find a way now to make these people understand and to see, well, I didn't really mean it. I wish you would forgive me. You're wasting time that you should be spending in a much better way. So this is a sin against the Lord. So we have to set that example to those who are looking to us, those who believe in us and want to follow our example. And we don't want our little ones to turn and do the same thing later on. Another thing is that we must always show mercy. Show mercy. Show mercy. And do not punish. Sometimes something happens and it's easy for you to throw it in the person's face and say, yes, this is what you did. And it's unkind. And it's just something that does not fix the problem. You want to fix the problem. So forget I'm right. And this is your fault. Forget about that. And show mercy. And help that person. Don't punish them. And that person would get to love you more because of that good act. And then we must be humble. We must be humble. Show humility. Show humility. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If we're gentle, if we're kind, that's appreciated. That makes friendship. That shows love. That builds us up. It makes us strong. It is not our job to punish anyone. It is not our job to preach to someone else that you are bad and this is the way you should be. It's our job, on the contrary, to forgive and to beg forgiveness when we are in the wrong. Verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools gush out folly. So we know to do that is to be foolish. To be foolish, to practice folly. So we will try our best as people of the way, not to do it. Not to do it. Be good. We're always told in the scripture that we should be humble, that we should be kind, that to punish is the work of God. Leave it to Him. We must remember that God's blessings are free. Our Lord blesses us even at times when there are no particularly good works on our parts. He blesses us because He loves us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well. But He will discipline us if we are disobedient. If we know, and disobedience not just because we're doing the wrong thing, but because we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong, and we know the Lord's way is the way it should be, and we still do the other thing. So there must be balance, and He must show us. And even that painful part of it, which comes from the Lord, even that makes us strong and makes us good, makes us a better person. And we know that our friends and our families, they need the same thing, so we have to be good to them. Be quick to forget, be quick to forgive, and make a new start. We can do it over and over. We never have to tire of doing that. And we must remember all those who worked hard to bring us to this point. They worked hard to bring us to this point. Some lost their lives. And today, we should not take that too lightly. We should accept all responsibility. All responsibility. While forgiving. And make many friends. Jeremiah 46 and verse 28. Jeremiah is delivering God's message to the people. And this is what the Lord says to the people. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, for I am with you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. The Lord is always just. The Lord is always just. But you cannot go entirely unpunished. The Lord is not hard to punish. He is just to punish. He loves us, and He wants us to go the right way. It's the same thing we do for our children. When they do the wrong thing, and we correct them, and sometimes we have to punish them, it's for their good, to build them up and make them better people. So we have to respond to what the Lord has given us. Build our lives on it, and love Him back. His justice is pure. And His love surpasses everything. There's nothing like the love of God. Let Him do the punishing. And a very perfect example of the justice of God and the love of God was when He sent His only Son to replace a man, Adam. Adam was the only human being who was born as a man. He was never a child. He was created as a sinless man. Christ Himself, when He came into the world, He came as a baby. He was born as a baby. He had to live and grow, exposed to all the sins, all the evil, all the wickedness of the world. He had to live and experience that for 33 and a half years, and He never sinned. He never sinned. Adam was created as a man, with the faculties of a man. He was taught by a God. You know that Adam wasn't just put in the garden to have a good time. He was put in the garden and he was taught by a Lord and showed what was good, what was bad, what was right and wrong. And at the end, he could not qualify for what he was made for. He wasn't made to succumb to sin. He was made to overcome it. But at the end, he failed. And this is when the Lord had to send, when a God had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come and complete, do that work that Adam was not able to do. So he was educated and very well prepared for the job, but he failed. So Jesus had to come and overcome that sin that Adam could not overcome. And when this was done, we were given that chance to become people of the way. People of the way. And this is why Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. Because the first Adam failed. And he had to come in, step in, and do that job. No one else could do it. And God made that sacrifice because he loves us so much. We have to be quick to repent. We have to be quick to show proper examples to those who look to us, those who depend on us, of which way to go. We have to be able to show them. So be quick to forget. Be quick to forgive. Follow the old rule and never let the sun set on quarrels or disagreements. The people of the way cannot afford to do that. And the more we do it, is the more we profit and the more we grow. We are being trained for the greatest work ever. And it's a job that takes much love, much understanding, and patience. We must have that patience. We must have that zeal. We must have that ability. We must constantly ask for that strength from the Lord to do that job. And brethren, let us love and support each other. And let us remember that we are the people of the way.